Welcome to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. Before I start the interview, if you enjoy this conversation or the others in the archives, please go to iTunes, your favorite podcast site, and leave a review. You'll be directly responsible for the growth of this show. Now then, on with the interview. So here we are, and I'm talking to Ross Crutchfield of Making a Homestead. And I reached out to him to do an interview because I really like a lot of the work that he's doing on his pod, on his website. And compared to many of the things that I want to post, it's a lot easier to point you to him than try to rewrite all of my own material. After my interview with Dylan Naber and him talking about a lot of the work that we do with the self and that idea of in the home, zone zero and zone double zero, Roswell is doing a lot of things in zone zero in his own home when it comes to doing his own brewing, doing a lot of cooking in the house, budgeting ways that can save you money so that you have time and energy to do other things, as well as has a great start on a beautiful garden. So then, Roz, my understanding is that you do not have a background in permaculture from a permaculture design standpoint, but you do have training in Mel Bartholomew square foot gardening?
Well, I do have some, I guess I would say, informal permaculture training. I took the iUniversity course by Will Hooker from the UNC.
Okay.
So that's probably one of my main backgrounds, permaculture, as well as, looking at the Survival Podcast Forum. They have a really great resource there. But, yeah, I have a lot more knowledge, I guess I would say, of square foot gardening.
Okay. And is that, do I understand correctly that you actually went through the training in order to teach that system?
Yes, I haven't finished yet. I have to shoot my own little video and send it off to them, but
okay.
I've gone through most of it.
Okay. I know some folks in my area who are doing that and teaching folks and blending permaculture with Mel's work. And I saw that you have some modifications that you've done to the square foot gardening system to make it work for you in your property listed on your website. What are some of those changes that you've made to make that function within what you're doing?
Well, I have a dog, and we have lots of rabbits around here, so I soon discovered that I needed a fence, and I have my little plots spread out all around throughout my backyard, so it didn't make sense to build this big fence. So what I did is actually get some hardware cloth, which is just kind of a metal screen with very tiny holes, and make my own fences around each bed, which actually serve to deter the animals and cut down on the cost.
And you found hardware cloth was just a lot cheaper alternative than using fencing that was available?
Well, that, and I should have also mentioned we have chipmunks, so I definitely wanted to get some really small holes. And hardware cloth comes in 4 foot by 25 foot or 4 foot by 50 foot rolls. And so with just some wire snips, it's easy to cut it into 2 foot lengths, and that's more than enough to keep out the dog or the average rabbit and chipmunks.
Okay. Yeah, to run across, what is it that you, even something as small as like a 1-inch hole is enough that some young rabbits is enough to get into, as long as they can just kind of shoot their head through, they can make it into your garden. So that makes sense to move to hardware cloth. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely helped deter them, because in my first years without it, I definitely was kind of devastated. With that, the use of a little air rifle kind of helped keep them at bay.
Okay. And you're down in Georgia?
Yes.
And a lot of your work? Okay.
I'm actually in Kennesaw, Marietta area, which is kind of metro Atlanta.
Okay. Okay. It's been a long time since I've been down there. And the last time I was in Georgia, all I remember is it was hot.
Yeah, it's zone 7B.
Zone 7B. So are you finding a lot of ways to conserve water then with that kind of temperature, or are you still needing to be out there watering your garden regularly?
I mean, you can't help but not have to water a lot. I do have a rain barrel set up on the back of the house, which really helps a lot. I've also been looking at installing a drip irrigation system, sort of a gravity fed system. But just funds haven't allowed me to do so yet. But I hope to do that probably in the fall and maybe have it going by the spring.
Okay. Is that with your drip irrigation? I noticed on your website a lot of the work that you're doing is repurposing materials. Are you using a plan then that you're going to repurpose in order to do the drip irrigation, or are you looking to buy directly a system to do that?
I'm actually been looking at a system. There's a company in California who I buy a lot of my seeds from, Peaceful Valley Organic Farms, and they have a lot of really good irrigation stuff, not just drip irrigation, but just general materials. And so I'm looking to use some of their materials to kind of design my own.
Okay. Just making a note of that so I can include that in the show notes later and take a look myself. I haven't found a good drip irrigation system for my property yet, so I'm always looking for alternatives.
Yeah, I like that because you can buy it by the piece, and you can kind of put things together as you need it, where you need it. Okay. Hopefully we'll hook it up to my rain barrel and then also to the city water as a backup when the barrel runs empty.
Okay. How large is your barrel that you're using?
It's actually 60 gallons.
60 gallons. Did you repurpose one of the blue barrels or purchase one in?
I'm actually lucked out. I purchased one and when it was on sale, and actually got it from, I believe, Home Depot. But it was free shipping. And so it just turned out to be a really good deal. And I was able to just cut right into the downspout, and it had a hookup with it that, so I just went with that. And I actually have it up on bricks, so it, I can get my pail underneath, or I can scoop from the top.
Okay. Out of all the projects that you've done with your rain barrel and your garden as a whole, what would you say is the most interesting for you or most challenging?
Well, I think the most interesting, would probably be recently, within the past year, I've really gotten into vermicomposting, which is worm composting. I mean, I have two other composting stalls, I guess I would say. But vermicomposting has been a learning experience, definitely.
I've done some worm farming myself, and it is one of the presentations that I love to take out. Kids love the worm farm as I pop the top off, and all those red wigglers come out, and the kids are like, "Mommy, Daddy, can I dig? Can I play?" But I understand what you mean by challenges. For all the times that I've opened the top of the bin and it's wound up being soaked, and all my worms are trying to escape or needing to remember to feed them after a week or two of forgetting the bins that's down there. What have been some of your challenges and most interesting learning points as you've implemented vermiculture in your home?
The biggest challenges with vermiculture was figuring out the correct diet to go with. A lot of people think you can just throw dirt in there and then put the worms in there, but that really wasn't the case. It was actually more, I actually had a mentor who helped me a lot with it. I met on the Survival Podcast, who gave me a little starter kit of worms and let me know that you need to start it in a bed of newspaper, which really helped out. And for a little while, I actually thought they had kind of died off in the winter because I had just, like you said, just forgotten to feed them. But recently, we've gotten into doing a lot of food processing and making green shakes. And so anything that doesn't go in the cup goes in the back of a food processor, and that's just great food for them. And I wouldn't want to throw it away anyway. It would have wound up in my compost bin, but I find the worms are very efficient, and they make that worm tea, I'm sure you know about, which is just awesome fertilizer, loaded with nutrients and microbes that plants love.
When you were implementing this system and you mentioned your mentor, is your mentor the source of most of the information that got you started, and then it was your hands-on work from there for getting the bin up? Did you anything in particular that you read to get you going?
Well, I looked at a couple bins that had been designed, and they'd actually discussed it in that iUniversity course I mentioned from Will Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
So I had seen some examples, and also, the website Red Worm Composting has been a really great resource.
Okay.
But in the end, I ended up just designing my own, which is just two plastic bins that fit inside each other, with the top one being raised by a couple inches with a couple bricks thrown in to keep it up. And then I drilled holes in the bottom for irrigation. And in the bottom bin, I drilled it out and put a spigot that you normally just see on the house for water, just got it from the hardware store, and from there just kept in the shade and kept them fed, and they've been doing really good. I just mix it up with some rainwater and plants love it.
So then your spigot on the bottom of your bins is what you use then to drain out the worm tea as it develops in the bottom of the bins?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just have a single bin system, so I wind up having to go in, snap on the rubber gloves, and then I remove the wet finished compost and then add new newspaper. So I haven't been draining it off that way. I usually take that finished compost material, add it to some water, shake it around, let it sit for a couple of hours, and then that's what I've been feeding to my plants. So that's a nice alternative to know about. Did you read Worms Eat My Garbage by Mary Applehoff at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That was the book that got me started, and there was some conversation in there about just the single bins, and that was the model that I went off of. I'll have to look at the idea of doing a two-bin system for my worms.
Thanks. I'll have to check that model out. I definitely find the two-bin system helps a lot if you're just going for the worm tea.
Okay.
I think that was a tip I also got from Tamo42 is the username of the person who's been helping me.
Okay. I'll have to include a link over to the Survival Podcast so folks can go check it out and listen to Jack as well.
Yeah, he's definitely got some good stuff,
yeah.
Especially culture.
Well, I saw that he had an interview with Jeff Lawton recently, so I haven't given him a listen to a while, but I'll have to download some new episodes and let my kids hear Jack's voice.
Yeah, I really love the video Jeff did with Greening the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
That's really one of the things that helped me get started with permaculture and really want to dive right into it.
Mentioning that, what were your other inspirations for permaculture and building your homestead and walking down this kind of self-reliant path?
Well, I definitely, the inspiration for the homestead, I guess, was Jack from the Survival Podcast. Some words he said when he said something, I'll get the quote wrong, but it was, make your home work for you, not you work for your home. And that just kind of inspired me that, yeah, I mean, I'm paying all this for the house. I really should be getting something in return. And I guess after 9/11 and Katrina and all that, I had really been looking for answers and way to be more self-reliant, self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And so then the podcast helped and at the course. And like I mentioned, the video from Jeff Lawton, Greening the Desert. Now, Bill Mollison also has some videos I've checked out that are really interesting. Of course, him being the father of permaculture.
Yes. Yes. I will say most of my listeners should be familiar with Bill at this point, or I would hope so.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, but I can, mentioning 9/11 and Katrina, I can say that there's a certain resonance with that because I had first looked at permaculture in the late 90s. And I had worked at a military facility and gotten to know some of the things that were behind the scenes there and knowing about what that branch of the service was looking to do to prepare for Y2K from a technical standpoint. And then it was like, okay, we made it through that, no big deal. Put down the permaculture stuff for a while, then 9/11 happened, and then Katrina, and that desire to be more self-reliant. And then I can say also it was moving back to Jack's work with the Survival Podcast and it was his discussion about how you can't do it on your own and that it requires a community. Because that idea of that one person being self-reliant out in the woods, hunting and gathering and living on their own is in some ways kind of a fiction for most of society, that we are going to need a community and to work together. And that brought me back to permaculture and looking at how we can do, how we can come together and build these sustainable systems that will work, whether we're there or not, and be able to pass them on through the generations. It just looked like it was the only model that I could find that really worked.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always been interested in survivalism and all that, but you have a lot of people out there who, I guess, have this kind of vision of Red Dawn or Mad Max scenarios with the lone gunman who goes out and does everything on his own. But I really think it does fall back to the community. And then you look back at World War II, when they had victory gardens and everyone was helping the war effort just by gardening home. And you look at food prices and it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And with that idea of food prices and these kinds of projects, what do you think are some basic things that anybody could do to get themselves started in permaculture or building their own homestead if they wanted to go out, say, today and do something with just maybe a couple of dollars in their pocket wherever they are to get themselves started?
Well, I definitely mention your podcast as well as Jack's, which are free to download. And as well as YouTube is a wealth of knowledge. Because they're free videos and they're great. As well as that iUniversity course with Will Hooker. Another resource I found very useful with getting just like parts, like such as pots and wood to use in my garden has been FreeCycle, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's a Yahoo news group. It's where anyone can sign up, and it's basically a community supported recycle program. Or if anyone wants to get rid of something, they can post it up. Or if you are looking for something in particular, you can post it and find it there.
Okay. What kind of materials and sources have you found there? Is it just like a little bit of everything? Whenever people have it available, it just comes up?
Yeah, it really is kind of a hodgepodge of things. Actually, just 2 days ago, I wound up picking up an aloe plant because someone just had too many and they were just getting out of control. And so I was happy to step in. I've also picked up some mint from there. Picked up wooden pallets more than once, which I've used in the garden, and actually have a couple I'm planning to get into beekeeping, which would really help out pollinating the plants as well as providing honey. And I'm sure you know about the all the devastation that's going on with the bees. And so anything that any of us can do to help them out helps us out.
Well, using the pallets, are you going to build your own hives then for your bees?
Yeah, I've been looking at plans for top bar beehives.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to go off one of those templates and just see what I can do with found materials.
Okay. Is there a particular website that you can think of that had that material that I could share with the listeners, or just search for top bar hives on Google?
Let's see.
I also guess, do you have any, have you posted that to your own website?
Yeah, I don't think I have it on my website. I've listed it on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I do a lot of stuff there that doesn't actually make it onto the website. I have a great community there. We actually just today got over 1,000 fans, or 1,000 likes, however you want to say it, which is really cool. And so it's just a nice place to share information there without kind of clogging up the website, I guess.
Okay. And people can just go to facebook.com and search for Making a Homestead?
Yes. Yeah, makingahomestead.com is our Facebook page.
Okay. Cool. Then I will get a link over there so people can find it.
And I actually just found the link that I was talking to. How to Build a Top Bar Beehive is the name of the book.
Okay.
By Philip Chandler. And you can do a Google search for that. It's or you can just go to lulu.com, and it's a free PDF. It's 44 pages and filled with pictures and step-by-step instructions.
Okay. I'll make sure to include a link to that in the show notes. So out of everything you've done, what would you say is the most satisfying project from your garden?
That's tough. I guess what really started me going with it was when I got the mint plants on FreeCycle, and I was thinking, oh, you know, some mint, what can I do with this? And it's not going to do much, but anyone who's grown mint will tell you it's like a weed. And so, I found that very early in my gardening, and so it was just nice to have something that was so successful so early off. And from that, I started to make mint jelly and mint tea, mint simple syrup, and that kind of led me to ways to preserve the food and keep harvest going longer, which I've used with other of my vegetables and plants.
What methods are you using to preserve your foods?
Well, I have a dehydrator I use, and I do a lot of canning, pressure canning. And of course, I grow a lot of garlic and shallots, which I can just kind of hang up and they let them dry out and use them throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw one of your recent posts was about curing garlic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, once you actually harvest the garlic, you have to let it cure for about 2 weeks, and then you can begin processing however you would like. If you want to make garlic oil, just hang it by the stalks and use it whenever, or if you want to make garlic powder or different ways. I'll probably have a post coming up soon on ways to preserve the harvest with garlic specifically. It's still in the curing phases, so I haven't done that post yet because I want to have a lot of pictures to go with it.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that you have a lot of pictures. Very easy to follow with all the information that you've presented.
Oh, thank you.
Which makes it nice. Again, you make my job easy. I can link to you and not have to worry about writing all of this myself and just share the love.
Definitely. Definitely. And I have a link to your podcast on my page as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We will spread the word far and wide one way or another.
Yes, together we can conquer the world.
Yes. Well, somebody needs to learn all this information somehow, right?
Right. I think this is kind of, the internet really helps a lot with that. It's a sort of organic spreading of knowledge with just us talking here. I mean, like, you've led me to this book, Worms Eat My Garbage, which is, I'm definitely going to check out. And I've led you to the Top Bar Hive PDF, which is free for download.
Yeah, I have a full page of notes and things that I will have to create links for in the show notes to make sure everyone can find this information. I love this. Every time that I talk to someone and do an interview, I wind up walking away with 10 times more information than I started with. And I've been doing this for off and on for a number of years, and I'm still surprised how much I just don't know.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It's great because I think a lot of people learn by doing, and when you have all these people that are going out and doing things and you talk to them, you can find out what works for them, what didn't work. And because just reading it sometimes doesn't do the trick. There are lots of things that sound good on paper, but when you go to try them, it's just not the case.
Have you had some projects go sideways that way? You read it, you get pumped up, you think you're just going to go out and conquer the project, and then it just falls apart?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've had some major setbacks with I tried to get into growing mushrooms, specifically shiitake and oyster mushrooms, which seemed very simple. I had some hardwood that I had actually cut down from a couple trees in my yard because they were just blocking the sun and were frankly just dying out anyway. So it was kind of a mercy kill. But anyway, like I said, I went to inoculate it and did all that. It's really hard work if you've ever done that.
No, I can't say I have.
It's definitely hard work. And so, yeah, I've had people come over who don't know what they're doing, are ignorant of growing mushrooms and such. So I actually had a party, and we were having a fire out back, and so I was inside cooking some food, and I come out, and one of my guests has decided to throw my logs on the fire. And so that was pretty devastating.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine that would be quite a setback.
Yeah.
I mean, just thinking about that, you walk out, you've got a tray full of food to serve your guests some refreshments after they've been out a while, and there's hours and hours of hard work sitting on the fire, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it was just too late.
Wow. Was that your entire stock of mushrooms, or were you able to save at least a little of the project?
Well, funny you should ask. I actually saved some, but then later on, I had another setback because we had I live in suburbia, so we have the typical bug man who comes by and sprays. And he just came by one day when I wasn't home and sprayed all of my logs with insecticide. Ooh. So at that point, they're just completely ruined.
I think my takeaway lesson for this is to label our mushroom logs.
Yes, yeah. I mean, don't let people around sensitive projects unless they know what they're doing.
Well, that covers the negative side of the horrible things that have happened. What are some of the positive things that you've had happen? You mentioned the mint was a good inspiration for you because it worked out well and gave you one of those small successes that leads to gardening confidence. Have you had some other projects that really made you go, yeah, this is great, this is why I do this?
Yes, my first 2 years or so, I've always loved squash and zucchini, so I wanted to grow those. And I don't know if you have them up there, but down here we have a really bad squash borer problem, which is basically a moth that bores into the plant and lays its eggs inside the stem of the plant. And you don't know until it's eaten the inside and your plant's dead. So in looking to try to find a solution for that, I stumbled upon a plant called Trombicino zucchini or Trombicino squash. I've seen it listed as both, which is basically a squash which grows about to be 3 feet and it kind of curls up a little like a trombone.
Mm-hmm.
And so last year I did one plant of that and I got well over a dozen squash just off that one plant, and each being 3 feet long and several pounds apiece really was definitely a good booster, and it was a good chance to use my dehydrator as well.
So you had a success growing it. How does it taste?
It tastes really good. I guess why I've seen it listed as both a squash and a zucchini. Zucchini, of course, being part of the squash family, but it's kind of an in-between of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And really, once you mix it, once you saute it in a little butter, put some sea salt on it, it's very delicious. Also made chips out of it and just dipped it in ranch or dehydrated some chips and threw them in a soup I was making, and it was just very good. It's a really interesting plant because when you first grow it, it's more like a summer squash when it's smaller. But once it gets to the larger size, it's more like a winter squash. Not too much of a taste difference between the two, but a little different in the way you cook them.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add or anything else that you'd like to let the listeners know about before I wish you a good evening?
It's like say permaculture has really helped me to kind of open my eyes up to resources that I would have normally maybe discarded in the past or just thrown in the recycling, and like newspaper, which is now food for my worms, or compost. Like I mentioned, I had to take those trees down, which I attempted to use for mushrooming, as well as I've made lots of trellises from it. And when we do have fires, as I mentioned, I use the wood ash to feed my blueberry bushes, which they seem to like.
So you're using your wood ash to acidify the soil?
Yeah, because blueberries and rose bushes and plants like that seem to like the acid a lot.
That's a nice alternative to having to go out and buy an acidifier, which I've been using the last couple of years for my blueberries. I'll have to go raid some ash.
Yeah, it's great. You can also use peat moss as well, which is very acidic. Okay. It's good.
Well, Ross, thank you very much for your time and agreeing to come on and talk with me for a little bit about all the work
thank
that
you
you're
for
doing
joining
there
me
in Georgia
another interview.
With building
your
own homestead,
implementing
some
permaculture,
go to
thepermaculturepodcast.com,
leave a message, or send me an email.
That address is
folks to come check out on your website.
Well, thank you. It's always glad to
until the next time, take care of yourself, the earth, and each other.
We're actually reading the post and listening. So thank you for having me, and I definitely enjoy your podcast. And I'll probably be posting a link on my website to this interview if you don't mind.
No, not at all. And I'll have this episode up in probably 2 or 3 days, and I'll send you a link whenever it's live.
Great. So we can send our fans both ways.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ross. Have a great evening, and enjoy your time in Georgia.
Thanks. You too. And have a good one.
I will. Good night.
Night.